Jina ma għita ġus, nsalmilkom u nilqakom għal-programm ieħor din is-serja Il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. Illum ukoll se nitkellmu dwar ħrejjef antiki daqs il-bniedem. Il-ħrejjef tal-Jataka u dawk ta' Elf Lejla u Lejla. Daqshekk hija antika, is-Sleeping Beauty. Issa qabel ma niskopru din il-verżjoni antika u erotika ta' Sleeping Beauty, se niżaminaw ħrejjef Indjani li ġejjin mir-raba seklu qabel Kristu. Dawn huma il-ħrejjef tal-Jataka, ispirati mill-Buddiżmu. Il-ħrejjef Jataka jirrakkontaw il-ħajjiet tal-Budda qabel ma jsib l-Enlightenment, jiġifieri qabel ma jara d-dawl, jiskopri il-verità. F'ċerti ħajjiet minn tiegħu huwa jitwieled bħala bniedem u f'oħrajn jitwieled bħala annimal, bħal pereżempju il-junfant jew ċerf. Kull ħrafa bħal dawk ta' Esopu għandha t-talima, il-moral. Il-ħames mit ħrafa, jekk mhux iktar tal-Jataka, huma popolari l-Indja kif inhuma dawk ta' Esopu fil-qija tad-dinja. Il-kelma Jataka tfisser l-istorja tat-twelid. Dawn l-istejjer jitkellmu dwar l-iżbalji li għamel u t-talimiet li tgħallem il-Budda. Bħal f'Esopu naraw erf kbir. Dawk tal-Jataka jippuntaw lejn l-individwu u jenfasizzaw is-soluzzjonijiet għall-problemi tal-ħajja bbażati fuq ir-realizzazzjoni tar-realtà li qed jgħix fiha. Infatti fil-Jataka insibu din il-kwotazzjoni. Araw daqsxejn xerf hemm fiha. U fl-istess ħin filosofija u psikoloġija. Do you fear the wind? It only moves the clouds and dries the dew. You ought to look into your mind, for fear alone has captured you, fearing the wind. Il-ħrejjef Jataka jitkellmu dwar ir-rajba, l-ambizzjoni, in-nuqqas taħsib, il-kumpanija ħażina, il-qerda tal-ambjent, id-dipendenza tal-bniedem fuq affarijiet li jqerduh, in-nuqqas tar-rispett permezz tal-azzjonijiet tagħna jew inkella l-lingwa li nużaw. U hawnhekk tajjeb li nisimgħu ħrafa li tirrakkonta dwar ir-rejba kif ukoll dwar l-onestà u jisima The Golden Plate. Once upon a time, in a place called Seri, there were two salesmen of pots and pans and handmade trinkets. They agreed to divide the town between them. They also said that after one had gone through his area, it was all right for the other to try and sell where the first had already been. One day, while one of them was coming down a street, a poor little girl saw him and asked her grandmother to buy her a bracelet. The old grandmother replied, "How can we poor people buy bracelets?" The little girl said, "Since we don't have any money, we can give our black sooty old plate." The old woman agreed to give it a try, so she invited the dealer inside. The salesman saw that these people were very poor and innocent, so he didn't want to waste his time with them. Even though the old woman pleaded with him, he said he had no bracelet that she could afford to buy. Then she asked, "We have an old plate that is useless to us. Can we trade it for a bracelet?" The man took it, and while examining it, happened to scratch the bottom of it. To his surprise, he saw that underneath the black suit, it was a golden plate. But he didn't let on that he had noticed it. Instead, he decided to deceive these poor people so he could get the plate for next to nothing. He said, "Oh, this is not worth even one bracelet. There's no value in this. I don't want it." He left, thinking he would return later when they would accept even less for the plate. Meanwhile, the other salesman, after finishing in his part of town, followed after the first as they had agreed. He ended up at the same house, Again, the poor little girl begged her grandmother to trade the old plate for a bracelet. The woman saw that this was a nice, tender-looking merchant and thought, he's a good man, not like the rough-talking first salesman. So she invited him in and offered to trade the same black, sooty old plate for one bracelet. When he examined it, he too saw that it was pure gold under the grime. He said to the old woman, "All my goods and all my money together are not worth as much as this rich golden plate." Of course, the woman was shocked at this discovery, but now she knew that he was indeed a good and honest fellow. So she said she would be glad to accept whatever he could trade for it. The salesman said, "I'll give you all my pots and pans and trinkets, plus all my money, if you will let me keep just 8 coins and my balancing scale with his cover to put the golden plate in." They made the trade. He went down to the river, where he paid the 8 coins to the ferryman to take him across. By then, the greedy salesman had returned, already adding up huge imaginary profits in his head. When he met the little girl and her grandmother again, he said he had changed his mind and was willing to offer a few cents, but not one of his bracelets, for the useless black, sooty old plate. The old woman then calmly told him of the trade she had just made with the honest salesman and said, "Sir, you lied to us." The greedy salesman was not ashamed of his lies, but he was saddened as he thought, "I've lost the golden plate that must be worth 100,000. So he asked the woman, "Which way did he go?" She told him the direction. He left all his things right there at her door and ran down to the river thinking, "He robbed me. He robbed me. He won't make a fool out of me." From the riverside, he saw the honest salesman still crossing over on the ferryboat. He shouted to the ferryman, "Come back!" But the good merchant told him to keep on going to the other side, and that's what he did. Seeing that he could do nothing, the greedy salesman exploded with rage. He jumped up and down, beating his chest. He became so filled with hatred towards the honest man who had won the golden plate that he made himself cough up blood. He had a heart attack and died on the spot. The moral is, honesty is the best policy. Kif għadna kif rajna fil-ħrejjef tajataka insibu verità profonda u werf kbir. U għalhekk dawn il-ħrejjef iservu bħala gwida morali. Kif semmejna qabel f'dawn l-istejjer il-Budda kien jinbidel f'annimal, għasfur jew bniedem u din l-istorja The Birth of a Banyan Tree narawh bħala summiena. Bl-Ingliż insejħula quail. Kif se taraw l-annimali jirrispettaw lill-minu ikbar u għandu iktar esperjenza u jbarbu s-supervja tagħhom. Once upon a time there was a big banyan tree in the forest beneath the mighty Himalayas. Living near this banyan tree were 3 very good friends. They were a quail, a monkey, and an elephant. Each of them was quite smart. Occasionally, the 3 friends got into a disagreement. When this happened, they did not consider the opinion of any one of them to be more valuable. No matter how much experience each one had, his opinion was treated the same as the others. So it took them a long time to reach an agreement. Every time this happened, they had to start from the beginning to reach a solution. After a while, they realized that it would save time and help their friendship if they could shorten their disagreements. They decided that it would certainly help if they considered the most valuable opinion first. Then, if they could agree on that one, they would not have to waste time and possibly even become less friendly by arguing about the other 2. Fortunately, they all thought the most valuable opinion was the one based on the most experience. Therefore, they could live together even more peacefully if they gave higher respect to the oldest among them. Only if his opinion were clearly wrong would they need to consider others? Unfortunately, the elephant and the monkey and the quail had no idea which one was the oldest. Since this was a time before old age was respected, they had no reason to remember their birthdays or their ages. Then one day, while they were relaxing in the shade of the big banyan tree, the quail and the monkey asked the elephant, "As far back as you can remember, what was the size of this banyan tree?" The elephant replied, "I remember this tree for a very long time. When I was just a little baby, I used to scratch my belly by rubbing it over the tender shoots on top of this banyan tree." Then the monkey said, "When I was a curious baby monkey, I used to sit and examine the little seedling banyan tree. Sometimes I used to bend over and nibble its top tender leaves." The monkey and the elephant asked the quail, "As far back as you can remember, what was the size of this banyan tree?" The quail said, "When I was young, I was looking for food in a nearby forest. In that forest, there was a big old banyan tree which was full of ripe berries. I ate some of those berries, and the next day I was standing right here. This was where I left my droppings fall, and the seeds they contained grew up to be this very tree." The monkey and the elephant said, "Aha! Sir Quail, you must be the oldest. You deserve our respect and honour. From now on, we will pay close attention to your words. Based on your wisdom and experience, advise us when we make mistakes. When there are disagreements, we will give the highest place to your opinion. We ask only that you be honest and just." The quail replied, "I thank you for your respect, and I promise to always do my best to deserve it." It just so happened that this wise little quail was the Bodhisatta, the enlightenment being.
Inat ili l-istejri jataka ivjaġġaw man-nies u imxew mal-karavani u daħlu l-Persja, iċ-Ċina, l-Italja, hekk kif jiġdu l-ister ta' Boccaccio, il-Greċja, bekk naraw ħafna xebb ma' dawk ta' Esopu, ir-Renju Unit, kif jiġdu il-Canterbury Tales ta' Chaucer, il-Ġapan, fejn għandna l-ister Zen, u kif se naraw din it-tieni parti tal-programm se nivvjaġġaw ġod-dinja qarbija permezz ta' xogħlijiet letterarji ħrejjeb ferm sbieħ Elf Lejl u Lejl, marufin ukoll para l-Arabian Nights.
Fil-fatt, l-ewwel ħrejjef ta' dan ix-xogħol letterarju ġew mill-Indja u l-Persja. X'aktarx illi fit-tmien seklu dawn il-ħrejjef ġew maqlubin għall-Arbi u għalhekk x'istejjer Għarab ġew miżjudin magħrufin bħala Elf Lejla. Imbagħad fit-13-il seklu insibu stejjer mis-Sirja u l-Eġittu, aktar tard daħlu xi stejjer Eġizzjani oħra, u jiena ninsab żgura li smajtu ħafna minn dawn il-ħrejjef u fil-ħrafa ewlenija insibu l-karattru ta' Xeherazad u r-raġel tagħha ir-re Xarjar. Il-ħrafa li se nisimgħu issa hija verżjoni oriġinali ta' Sleeping Beauty. U din il-ħrafa hija waħda mill-istejjer illi r-Reġina Xaħrażad tirrakkonta lir-Re Xarjar. Sleeping Beauty isimha Sittu Kan. U kif semmejt qabel ħajna nara verżjoni daqsxejn adulta u erotika u meta nqabbluha ma' Sleeping Beauty li tgħallimna meta konna tfal, meta naħseb tisimgħu di il-verżjoni naħseb tikkonfermaw dan li qed ngħid. Pero imbagħad wara l-istorja għandna lil Doris Vella Camilleri u se tikkummenta dwarha. Jisima The Ninth Captain's Tale. Oh, there was was once a woman who could not conceive, for all her husband's assaulting. So one day, she prayed to Allah, saying, "Give me a daughter, even if she be no proof against the smell of flax." In speaking thus of the smell of flax, she meant that she would have a daughter, even if the girl were so delicate and sensitive that the anodyne smell of flax would take hold of her throat and kill her. Soon the woman conceived and easily bore a daughter, as fair as the rising moon, as pale and delicate as moonlight. When little Setukan, for such they called her, grew to be 10 years old, the Sultan's son passed beneath her window and saw her and loved her and went back ailing to the palace. Doctor succeeded doctor fruitlessly beside his bed, but at last an old woman who had been sent by the porter's wife visited him and said, after close scrutiny, "You are in love, or else you have a friend who loves you." "I'm in love," he answered. "Tell me her name," she begged, "for I may be a bond between you." "She is the fair Setukan," he replied, and she comforted him, saying, "Refresh your eyes and tranquilize your heart, for I will bring you into her presence." Then she departed and sought out the girl who was taking the air before her mother's door. After compliment and greeting, she said, "Allah protect so much beauty, my daughter. Girls like you and with such lovely fingers should learn to spin flax, for there is no more delightful sight than a spindle and spindle fingers." Then she went away. At once the girl went to her mother, saying, "Mother, take me to the mistress." "What mistress?" asked her mother. "The flax mistress," answered the girl.
"Do not say such a thing," cried the woman. "Flax is a danger to you. Its smell is fatal to your breast. A touch of it will kill you."
But her daughter reassured her, saying, "I shall not die," and so wept and insisted that her mother sent her to the flax mistress. The white girl stayed there for a day, learning to spin, and her fellow pupils marvelled at her beauty and the beauty of her fingers. But when a morsel of flax entered behind one of her nails, she fell swooning to the floor. They thought her dead, and sent to her father and mother, saying, "Allah prolong your days, come and take up your daughter, for she is dead." The man and his wife tore their garments for the loss of their only joy, and went, beaten by the wind of calamity, to bury her. But the old woman met them and said,
"You are rich folk, and it would be shame on you to lay so fair a girl in dust."
"What shall we do then?" they asked. And she replied,
"Build her a pavilion in the midst of the waves of the river, and couch her there upon a bed, that you may come to visit her."
So they built a pavilion of marble on columns rising out of the river, and planted a garden about it with green lawns, and set the girl upon an ivory bed, and came there many times to weep. What happened next? The old woman went to the king's son, who still lay sick of love, and said to him,
"Come with me to see the maiden. She waits you couched in a pavilion above the waves of the river."
The prince rose up and bade his father's wazir come for a walk with him. The two went forth together and followed the old woman to the pavilion. Then the prince said,
"Wait for me outside the door, for I shall not be long."
He entered the pavilion and began to weep by the ivory bed, recalling verses in the praise of so much beauty. He took the girl's hand to kiss it, and as he passed her slim white fingers through his own, noticed the morsel of flax lodged behind one of her nails. He wondered at this, and delicately drew it forth. At once the girl came out of her swoon, and sat up upon the ivory bed. She smiled at the prince, and whispered, "Where am I?" "You are with me," he answered, as he pressed her all against him. He kissed her, and lay with her, and they stayed together for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the prince took leave of his love, saying, "My wazir is waiting outside the door. I will take him back to the palace and then return." Setukan wandered in the garden, weeping, lonely, and regretting that she was not dead in very truth. As she walked by the water, she saw something sparkle in the grass, and on raising it, found it to be a talismanic ring. She rubbed the engraved chameleon of it, and the ring spoke, saying, "Behold, here am I. What do you wish?"
"O ring of Suleiman," answered Situkan, "I require a palace next to the palace of the prince who used to love me, and a beauty greater than my own."
"Shut your eye and open it," said the ring. And when the girl had done so, she found herself in a magnificent palace next to the palace of the prince. She looked in the mirror which was there, and marvelled at her beauty. Then she leaned at the window until her false love should pass by on his horse. When the prince saw her, he did not know her, but he loved her and hastened to his mother, saying, "Have you not some very beautiful thing which you can take as a present to the lady who dwells in the new palace? And can you not beg her, at the same time, to marry me?"
"Tell me plainly whether you wish to marry my son or no," said the queen to Situkan as she visited her.
"If you desire me to marry him," answered Situkan, "bid him feign death. Wrap him in 7 winding sheets, carry him in sad procession through the city, and let your people bury him in the garden of my palace."
"I will tell him your conditions," said the queen. "What do you think?" cried the mother to her son, when she had returned to him. "If you wish to marry the girl, you must pretend to be dead. You must be wrapped in 7 winding sheets. You must be led in sad procession through the city, and you must be buried in her garden."
"Is that all, dear mother?" asked the prince in great delight. "Then tear your clothes and weep and cry. My son is dead."
The queen rent her garments and cried in a voice shrill with pain, "Calamity and woe! My son is dead!"
All the folk of the palace ran to that place, and seeing the prince stretched upon the floor with the queen weeping above him, washed the body and wrapped it in 7 winding sheets. Then the old men and the readers of the Quran came together and formed a procession, which went throughout the city, carrying the youth covered with precious shawls. Finally they set down their burden in Situkan's garden and went their way. As soon as the last had departed, the girl, who had once died of a morsel of flax, whose cheeks were jasmine and white roses, whose brows were Caribs 2x2, whose waist was the slim jet of the fountain, went down to the prince and unwrapped the 7 winding sheets from about him 1 by 1. Then,
"Is it you?" she said. "You are ready to go very far for women. You must be very fond of them."
The prince bit his finger in confusion, but Situkan reassured him, saying,
"It does not matter this time."
And they dwelt together in love delight.
Uti li għadna kim smajna hija waħda mill-verżjonijiet l-iktar antiki tal-ħrafa ta' Sleeping Beauty. X'fadal minn din il-verżjoni antika fil-verżjoni ta' Sleeping Beauty li nafu l-lum nisimaw il-kommenti ta' Doris Vella Camilleri.
Id-disa storja di Captain Stay li għawahda mill-istejjer ta' Shahrazad li kienet tirrakonta lil-żewġa ir-re Shahryar. L-istorja jifuq tfajla Situkan li xtaqet li kolla tarbija u t-tarbija titwielet taħt saħta. Dan li kas l-istorja tiġbaħ l-istorja ta' Grimm Sleeping Beauty. Is-sultan iħob lil Situkan li fuqa taqa' is-saħta. Situkan tmut minn tingiża tal-labra waqt li kienet qiegħda tir-rakma. Sleeping Beauty ta' Grimm torqod għal mit-sena. Fiż-żewġ stejjer iż-żewġ maħbubin jgħaddu minn taħt is-saħta tal-mewt. Il-maħbub ta' Situkan imut minħabba fiha fit-tfulija. Fiż-żewġ stejjer kemm Situkan u kemm Sleeping Beauty hemm il-bżonn li xi ħadd iqajjimhom mir-raqda tal-mewt li jinsabu fiha. Fiż-żewġ stejjer dejjem ikun il-ġmil tal-arusa li jkun li ġiel lill-prinċeb li jagħti spinta biex iqajjem li tfajla mir-raqda tagħha. Fl-istorja ta' Situkan, it-tnejn flimkien jibqgħu reqdin għall-erbgħin ġurnata. Din l-istorja Situkan ġa kienet bnietlu palazz permezz ta' ċurkett tagħha maġiku. It-tifel tas-sultan wara li kiber jara fit-tebut qisu għall-ewwel darba u ġmil tagħha iġalu jkun dak li qajjimha mill-mewt. Fl-istorja ta' Grimm kienu għaddew mit-sena, meta t-tifel tas-sultan sema bil-prinċipessa mejta fit-tebut, Irnexxielu jifret iċ-ċin tax-xewk li għalaq il-kastell ta' Briar Rose. Tant ħa grazzja magħha li malli missa infetħu għajnejha u qamet u magħha reġa' l-xogħol tal-palazz kollu. Is-sentenza mewt tas-saħħara ħażina tagħha kienet ġiet mibdula f'raqda ta' mit-sena mit-13 is-saħħara t-tajba. Matul iż-żmien xi folkloristi waslu biex janalizzaw din l-istorja ta' Sleeping Beauty bħala xempju tal-Lunar Year ta' żminijietna illi fiha 13 tal-Lunar Year tagħna. It-13 il-sħaħar ta' Grimm huma s-Solar Year li għandha simbolikament u li fiha 12 xahar. Iżda fi Grimm's Tale biss hemm li s-saħħar il-ħażina kienet it-13 il-waħda. Fl-istorja ta' Perrault, is-saħħara l-ħażina hi it-tmien waħda. Din l-istorja ġiet ukoll interpretata bħala allegorija fuq in-natura. Il-prinċipessa tirrappreżenta in-natura. Is-saħħara l-ħażina hi x-xitwa u l-prinċepu r-rebbija li jnixxe fix-xewk bix-xabla tiegħu biex iħalli x-xemx tqajjem in-natura mill-ġdid.
Fil-programm li jmissa nitkellmu propju dwar dan il-karattru li minn dejjem ħsibni li hu Malti. Se niskopru ħafna affarijiet li ma konniex nafu fost oħrajn, se naraw kif permezz tal-karattru ta' Ġaħan se niskopru kulturi oħrajn. Fil-waqt li naraw kif il-ħrejjef iċċaqalqu mal-bniedem vjaġġatur u espandew u daħlu u ntisġu ma' kulturi barranin u dawk Maltin. Mela sakemm nerġgħu niltaqgħu għall-programm li jmiss, nixtieq nirringrazzja l Doris Vella Camilleri u jiena Margarita Juice insemmilkom.